the wisdom here is not worldly wisdom. You may have natural wisdom. You may have wisdom through age. You've been living for a while. You may have experience through living in the world. But we're talking here about the wisdom of God, and it is the Word of God. In the Bible, when it talks about the wisdom, it talks about the wisdom of God. And that is what we want. That is what we need. Not just worldly wisdom, but the wisdom of God. And where can you find the wisdom of God? It is in the Word of God. Simply is that. It is in the Word of God. The more you know the Word of God, and the more you apply in the Word of God to your life, the wiser you are. The more you have the wisdom of God. How do we know that? Because if you go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The instruction is talking about the commandments, the Word of God here. And then when you look in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 from verse 97, it says, oh, by the way, this whole psalm is about the Word of God, right? It's the psalmist. It's someone who is so in love with the Word of God. He can't stop talking about it. So it's not by chance that this is the longest psalm, because he's just pouring out his love for the Word of God. And he uses terms like sweet, like honey, and all these things about the Word of God. And here in Psalms 119 from verse 97 to 104, it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. But the law here is a term of the Word of God. Okay, and your commandments, that's the Word of God. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Say, wisdom, being wise. Your commandments, the Word of God. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. You have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Testimonies, law, commandments, all these are the terms for the Word of God in general. Okay? And verse 100, I understand more than the age, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precept I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. If there's a shortcut to wisdom, it's right here. In a sense, there's a shortcut to wisdom, because we know that people have wisdom only when they live for a long time, with age. The Bible even says that, with age, you have wisdom. You cannot just one day, just again, go to the internet and get these facts and I'm wise. No. You have to live through it. You have to experience it. You have to test what you know, your knowledge, before you can be wise. But in a sense, there's a shortcut to the wisdom here. Especially the wisdom of God. Because it says that because of the Word of God, because I have the Word of God in my heart and in my soul and in my life, I can be wiser than the age. That is the old people. Talking about the old people here. You can be wiser than the old people? How? By having the Word of God. That's the only way. So in a sense, there's a shortcut to be wise, to have that wisdom, by accumulating, by reading, by studying, by hearing the Word of God, by reading it in devotion every day and applying it to your life. You can have this wisdom. Now, in a sense, it's a shortcut, but in another sense, it's not, because you still have to test it out, the Word of God. You have to live it out, the Word of God. So it does take time, but you can get more wisdom than those who live longer than you if they were not living by the Word of God. But if you are living by the Word of God, so in that sense, that's a shortcut to have wisdom. Because why? The Word of God is wise, because he's been living for a long time, isn't it? Not that he's living for a long time. He started the whole universe before life even began. He was there. And the Bible said that he made the whole world by the word of his wisdom. So if you and I want wisdom, go to the Word of God. As simple as that. But then we'll look some more about what is the principle of the Word of God. All right? And how do we have this wisdom? First of all, James said that the wisdom of God helps you to know the tough time, have good purpose and usefulness. And he started saying this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now tell me, I don't know if any of you have gone through tough times. You probably did, right? Or maybe you are right now. But tell me, did you enjoy your tough times? Can you say that, I really enjoy my tough times? Will you raise your hand? I don't believe so, right? I wouldn't. I mean, in tough time, you don't put up a smiley face. You know that smiley face? What do you put up with a crying face, right? And that's naturally, we cannot enjoy the tough times. Our faces look sad, and inside of our heart, it's just painful to go through difficulties in life. So what is James talking about here? Consider it all joy. Can you be happy? Can you be joyful going through these difficult times in your life, the challenges, the trials, and problems in your life, and you smile and you're joyful? Come on, that's unreal. But that's what James is saying. So why is that? Well, of course, he didn't stop at that. He didn't say, well, consider it all joy when you go through trials, through tough times. No. And he continued on. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Here's the thing about wisdom. Is that, yes, tough time, nobody enjoying it. And we're not looking forward to it. But when we have wisdom, we know that there's a good purpose. There's usefulness in tough times, in trials that we're going through. Because you learn many lessons not through the good times. You learn many lessons not through your success. But you learn many, many good lessons through your failures, through your problems, through the difficulty in your life. That's when you really learn. Now, I remember that when I was growing up as a boy, my family was not, well, living in Vietnam, in the old country. And, of course, my family is not that rich. They're okay. My mom was a single mom, and with my grandma, and that's our little family with my sister. But they're doing okay, and they kind of pamper me, in a way, as a kid growing up. By pamper, I mean they put food into my mouth. You know, I refuse to eat. Come on, eat! They put the spoon into my mouth. I'm kind of pampered that way. So if for a meal I eat a little bowl of rice, I'd be, oh great, Noah, you're doing good. No, it's not Noah, my name. It's Ngap, you're doing good. So I was pampered in that way, okay? But one day when I was about 13 or so, I was in Boy Scouts at that time, and I regret the decision, but it turned out to be the best decision, is that I went on with this group of about 50 Boy Scouts, and we went on a big trip for the whole month. And in Vietnam, we went from Da Nang, a town where I was born. We went all the way to near Saigon. Okay? That's a long trip. And imagine all of us are really little kids. Eighth graders, ninth graders. Our oldest person, the leader, was a 12th grader. Right? So imagine we went on this trip. It was a tough trip. Okay. There's a lot of times when I'm really hungry, we're out of food. We have to go and beg in food from other Boy Scout group in different towns that we went to. And there's time when there's no transportation. We have to hitchhike, and we're really hitchhiking with the trucks that get in different groups. But anyway, and then I went to a time when I didn't have food to eat. I was really hungry. There's time when I was really slept outside in the sky. It was really cold at night, and all of them got the blankets, and I was just lying open in the sky. So, and as a result, when I went home after a month on that trip, the first thing I did was that my mom made a meal for me, and I ate 7 bowls of rice straight. I never did that before. You know, it'd be great if I ate 1 little bowl of rice before that. But when I went home, I ate 7 bowls of rice straight. And my mom looked at me and said, wow. You know, from then on, I learned. I learned through tough times. And I got tough after that. Nobody had to tell me to eat again. You know, I just go right to the food. And I'm glad that I have a roof to sleep under. So I begin to appreciate the house that I have with my mom and all of that. So anyway, this is what James is talking about. Consider it all joy. When we are mature enough, when we have learned enough through tough times, we learn all these wonderful lessons, and we begin to see, well, there's a value in this. There's a value. That's a good thing when we go through tough times. So it's not that bad after all. That should be our attitude. Sometimes, and I think most of the time, God put the trials, the tough times in your life so that he would train you. So you will be better. That's what it says here. That's what James says. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So next time you get into trouble, of course, I would say naturally, we'll not be happy, we'll not be joyful, but remember there's a good purpose in that. And deep inside, we can have the joy that James is talking about here. And just trust in God. But then he jumped into this and said, well, in tough time, you may need wisdom. And he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded, man unstable in all his way. The wisdom of God gives you guidance for decision-making in tough times. This is why James is talking about wisdom here. This is why James said, well, if any of us, if we feel like we need more wisdom, especially the time when we cry out to God, God, tell me what to do. I'm in trouble here. Can you please tell me what decision I'm going to make here? How am I going to get out of this trouble? That is a time when we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God every day. In our life. In our life, we need that. But especially at this time, in tough time. And so, basically, why we need the wisdom of God? Because we need to make some decisions here, right? The tough times in your life, you will say, well, what am I going to do here? That is the time when you need decision making. Okay? So, the wisdom of God will help you in this. It will help you in this. To make the right decision. And God will give you, the Word of God will give you the principles to make the right choice, to make the right decisions in such a time like that. Okay? I wonder if you ever in a situation when you say, well, God, could you tell me what to do here? I'm so confused. I feel like I'm in the dark. I want to make the decision here, but I don't know how to do it. And there are many choices. I don't know which one to choose. Or this decision is so important. If I make the wrong step, if I make the wrong move, I'll be in big trouble later on. So I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Could you please tell me? Have you ever in that situation? There's time when I was in that situation. And I wish that I can hear God's audible voice will tell me, Noah, you do this. Would that be wonderful? But the thing is, it's pretty rare that God would do that. It's pretty rare that God would directly talk to you with the audible voice and tell you to do this, do that. Because God has a better instrument, a better way to tell you what to do. All right? And it is through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Through the whole Bible here. Not just one verse, not just one piece, but the whole Bible. And that's what I'm saying, that the wisdom of God is living by the principles of the Word of God. It's different from just living by a verse of the Word of God. Okay? Now, here's the thing. When you need to make an important decision, then the Word of God will, the wisdom in the Word of God will help you do that. And He will, most of the time, He may speak to you directly with an audible voice, but most of the time, in this time, God will not do that. Why? Well, first of all, because we have the Bible. Back in the day, when people of God didn't have the Bible yet, in the time of Moses, the time of David and Solomon, they don't have the complete Bible yet. So, and then the prophets. So God spoke to them directly with the audible voice, maybe in dreams, maybe in visions. But not in our day. I'm not saying that God will not do that. He has the freedom to do that. He wants to, according to His will, He can do that. He can speak to you audibly, specifically. But most of, oftentimes He will not. He will allow you to make the decision. He will allow you to make the right decision through the Word of God. And don't expect God to speak to you audibly every time. Because there's so many decisions in your life. If you decide, well, today what am I going to eat? And I want, God, please tell me whether I'm going to eat hamburger, I'm going to eat pizza, I'm going to eat pho today. Please tell me which one. Right? God, it's not in that business, right? You have the freedom to make those choices. But here we're talking about the time when you have to make the important decision. And you want that audible voice. What does God do in our time? God will speak through the Word of God. But here's the thing. God, don't use just a verse. And then, well, pick on that verse and pick on, or some people even, because I don't know how to make a decision here, so I just turn the Bible. You know, I just close my eye, I just turn the Bible, and just, there it is. Okay, let's read the verse, you know. That's the will of God. That's, well, you know, you heard the story, some people doing that, and he or she got to the point where Judas Iscariot go and hang himself. You know, that's God, what God wants me to do. Don't do that. Okay? And some people, when they want to make important decisions, they ask for a sign. Okay, that sounds spiritual, but don't do that either. I mean, you can do that. But, and they may say, well, in the Old Testament, you know, God gave Gideon, God gave other people signs so they know what to do. But again, because they didn't have the Bible, complete Bible. Today we do. So God decides that this is completeness of His will for us. So we can get God's will in here, in His Word. And signs can be a problem for you. Especially if it is against the principle of the Word of God. I know one person told me, I'm looking for a sign for, I want to divorce my spouse. And I got these three signs, so it cannot be wrong. I'm going to divorce my spouse. You think that's right? See, signs can be dangerous. Because signs can be going against the Word of God. The Word of God said, well, you have to commit to your spouse. You don't divorce your spouse. If you looking for signs and doing that, and signs giving you the right to do that, no, it is against the Word of God. So, why don't go to the Word of God? and get from the principle of the Word of God and knowing what to do. And what do I mean by the principles of the Word of God? It is when you read the Word of God so much, and you hear and you understand, you study the Word of God, and you study and you devotion in it, the Word of God is so much in your mind, in your heart, it's kind of, you get to the point of, I can say, saturation. That is, it's filled your heart, your mind so much that every decision that you have to make, it's just the Holy Spirit will help you to come out and say, oh, okay, I make this decision, I make that decision. And just not just based on one Word of God or one verse of the Bible, but it based on the general principle. What do I mean by that? Well, the important principle of the Word of God. For example, Christians used to, they don't smoke, right? And there's no commandment in the Bible to say that, like in the Ten Commandments, say, do not smoke cigarette. Do you find that in the Bible? Right? And so if you say, well, why Christians, most of Christians, they think smoke is a sin, but the Bible does not explicitly say, do not smoke cigarette. And some people can say, well, where is it in the Bible saying that? But there's a principle of the Word of God that Christians have found a long time ago. And that is, if you do something, and by the way, Christians found this a long time ago before people have found out that smokes is harmful to your health, right? It's just recently that science and health and medical community and all of that found out where smoke is harmful to you, and smoking like a taboo now, and people don't smoke anymore. Most people don't smoke, and very few people smoke now. But Christians have found that a long time ago. How? Even though it's not explicitly in the Word of God, but they decided smoking is not good for them. Why? Because according to the principle of God that you should preserve your life, what is healthy, you should preserve this life to serve God. That is what I'm talking about, the principle of the Word of God. So even though the Bible is not explicitly saying that, but you know what to do. And not just smoking, but drug and other things that can be harmful to you, destructive to you and to others. You don't do that. Because when you read the Bible enough, God says that, well, you have to have a healthy living so you can glorify God and you can serve me. Right? And another example will be if a guy here that have 10 ladies that want to marry him. Which one I'm going to choose here? It's a big problem. Or conversely, a lady has 10 guys who want to go and propose to you. It's a big problem, isn't it? What are you going to do? Right? And so you go to the Bible and say, well, where's the Word of God? Let's, marry Joseph? No, right? But Joseph is not one of the guys. So anyway, how do you know which one to choose when there's 10 guys who want to propose to you, lady? Which one do you choose? Well, if you don't have the wisdom of God, then you can choose any one of them, whether believers or unbelievers, you choose any of them, right? And maybe he's good looking or whatever your criteria and all of that. But when you read the Bible and you have the wisdom of God, you use the principle in the Word of God, and it says that do not be unequal yoke with unbelievers. So you know, and from the Bible saying the word, if you live with the unbelievers, the life will be painful to you, basically. So you got that principle. So you narrow down, instead of 10 guys, you narrow down to 3 guys. 3 guys that are believers, right? Ladies? So you got 10 guys, now you narrow to 3 guys. These 3 guys are believers. Now, how am I going to choose further? Well, you apply the principle of the Word of God. And if you are really spiritual, you say, well, these 3 guys are believers, but I want spiritual guy. Right? And so that will narrow down further for you. Which guy to choose, right? So even though God will not say, well, guy A, name A, or the guy named B, God does not say that. But using the principle of the Word of God, it gives you the wisdom so you can narrow down the choice. That's wisdom. You narrow down the choices you make so your decision will be easier. Right? So that is what God helping us to make the right decision. And again, back into Psalm 119, I'm sure that you're familiar with this verse here, and that's Psalm 119, 105, you know this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? That is guidance. The word of God gives you guidance, a lamp, a light. You're in the dark right now, you don't know where to go. So the word of God will give you guidance. Where to go, what decision to make. So in general, it gives you these principles so you can make the right decision. And the wisdom of God gives you the right world view to deal with tough times. What is that? Well, back to James here in chapter 1. Down in verse 9, he says, "But the brother in humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass," I'm reading American Standard Version here, so it might be a little bit different for your NIV. "Like flowering grass, he will pass away, for the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So to the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away." See, what is saying here? Well, it's saying the rich man and the poor man, it's nice if you're rich. It's kind of, what a pain if you're poor. But it doesn't matter. Because both of you will pass away just like the grass, the flowers. So one day you blossom, one day you pass away, and you wither away in the scorching heat and the winds and all that. So what is that? This is the world view for us. That this life is just temporary. It doesn't matter how much possession you have, how much wealth you accumulated. It doesn't really matter. Because all of that will pass away. Eternal life will be forever. That's where you're going to. So what is ever in this life that happened to you? It's just temporary. That is the worldview that will help us to make the right choice in tough times. So you look at things from the eternal perspective, and you can make the right decision. Because when you're so bogged down in this life, and you look life from this life perspective, things can be difficult. Things can be so overwhelming for you to make the right decision. But if you have this heavenly or eternal perspective, it's easier for you to make decisions. And that is a part of the wisdom when we have the Word of God. Now, resolve to live according to the wisdom of God. So we know this is important. We know the wisdom of God is good for us. But are we going to be all the time living by the wisdom of the Word of God? Maybe not. Why? Because a lot of times it seems like the Word of God does not make sense, right? It seems like, I have my own experience. And I should go this way. And I have my own knowledge. I think this is the right way. And the Word of God sometimes does not make sense. And that is why it's tough. It's difficult for us to commit to the Word of God and to live by the Word. It's easy for me to say it now. And it's easy for you to think that way. That, yeah, the Word of God is good. Yeah, the wisdom of the Word of God. But when it comes to life, when it comes to living, when it comes to daily living, and when it comes to when you face with tough times, and when you face with difficult decisions, we tend to rely on our own natural intelligence, and own knowledge, or even our own wisdom, but not in the wisdom of the Word of God. You agree with me? Because sometimes Word of God does not make sense. So what James saying here is to stick with it. To have faith. To have faith to ask for the wisdom of God. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives us to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if, first of all, we have to come with faith to ask for God's wisdom. I mean, it's not to simply read the Word of God and study the Word of God and you have that wisdom. But again, applying it, testing it, think about it, meditate upon it, and believe in it. The important part is believe in it, not our own wisdom, not our own knowledge and skill and experience and all of that. At times when God would say, well, put that aside. I would say most of the time, our own knowledge and experience and wisdom are going with the Word of God. It's going the same road. But sometimes it will go against your own experience and knowledge and all of that. And trust, at that time, you have to trust. You have to trust in the Word of God. And so he said, well, if you lack wisdom, if you lack wisdom, ask, and he will give it to you liberally. He will give to you abundantly. That's what he's saying here. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. Sometimes we doubt the Word of God. Well, is it really good? Is it really the right way? Sometimes we doubt the Word of God. Right? So he's saying, if you really want God's wisdom, you have to trust. You have to have faith. You have to really believe that God's way is good. And sometimes it may be contrary to your way. And that's exactly what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7 says here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. See, we need to trust in the Word of God, no matter what, every day, but especially in tough times. But resolve to live by the wisdom of the Word of God. And how do you do that? By daily, you know, getting the dose of the Word of God in your life. Read it daily. Applying it to your life. And as you read it, it's not automatically that you will get the wisdom, but over time the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God into your life, into your heart, into your soul, when you know what is good. And what are the important principles in the Word of God? Well, we can name a few. Like, you know, live honestly. Right? That's a good principle that you get from the Word of God. So when you come to make a decision, well, whether I'm going to cheat or not, right? The principle of the Word of God says, well, be honest. Or you have to answer somebody, and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to say here? Well, let's say this, say that. Well, you don't have to think about that. When you have the principle of the Word of God say, honest, okay, well, this is what happened. This is what I'm going to say. Right? So when you have the principle in the Word of God, it helps you to make the right decision, to live rightly, correctly, and pleasing to God. And then the biggest principle in the Word of God would be to live with the truth in the Word of God, to live with grace, with love, forgiveness. Those are big principles in the Word of God that will help you to make the right decision, the right choice. And then, a more important principle in the Word of God is that you live from the perspective of eternity. And that will help you. That will help you to make decisions in your life now. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to accumulate wealth. I'm going to get a lot of stuff in this life. And you'll say, well, that is not as important. But I need to make decision. I make to live life with the goal of where I'm going. That's Hebrews 11. The people of faith, they go into the heavenly country, even though they live on earth. So our decision making on earth will be based on where we're going. And also another important principle is live in watchfulness, because Christ is returning. And so we say, well, since Christ is returning, What should I do? That will help you make decisions in life, right? Well, how should I live now since Christ is returning? I'm not going to make decisions. I'm not going to live like other people. Well, when Christ comes, they're really ill-prepared. And so these are the things that help us. And remember, in the time when you cry out to God, what am I going to do? He would say, well, remember what I taught you in my word? Remember that? What are the principles that you should use to apply to this particular case in my life? And as you grow in more and more in God's word, things will come automatic. Your decision making will become easier. And you trust more and more in God's word. And becomes easier and easier for you. And again, it will help you in your faith life, especially in tough times. And even though you don't hear the audible voice of God, but yet you have the voice of God in the Word of God. So let us stand up and ask that God to increase your faith in His Word. Ask that God will help you to have more trust in His guidance. And invest more time to gain the Word of God in your life. And if any of you going through a time when you have to make an important decision, maybe change of job, maybe move somewhere, those important decisions, or even marriage, all these things, ask that God will give you wisdom through His Word. Lord God, help us to seek your face always. Help us to know your will. Through the Bible, the message that have given to us, the completeness of your will for us, your children, to live and to receive your blessings. Thank you, Father. We praise your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.